Alrighty, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. Now, last podcast episode, we talked a bit about our insider knowledge. We had someone on the inside of the new spin-off show that's going to be premiering here soon called Bachelor : Music to Find Love, Music of My Love.
Listen to your heart.
Now, Caitlin, I do have a little bone to pick with you because you waited until basically the last minute of the podcast, which was an hour and a half because we did a long episode last week. You waited till the last minute to reveal that you had, in fact, been to the same waterfall that they did the photo shoot in Costa Rica. So we barely got to talk about it.
I mean, it's like a beautiful waterfall, but there's not much else to say, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, you could say, hey, I was at that waterfall.
I was at that waterfall and there was not a fashion shoot going on when I was there.
Was it super crowded with tourists? Is it that kind of waterfall?
No, there was nobody there when I went.
Oh my gosh.
It was like just me and my friend.
Oh, that's got to be amazing. A waterfall with a little pool at the bottom.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's a really tall waterfall. There's a little platform you walk down where you can kind of like see all of it. And then you go down at the bottom and you could swim at the little like base of the waterfall if you want to.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow. Was it warm? Is the water warm?
I remember I went, it was in October when I went. So it was not super warm. It was like fine, but a little cold.
Yeah. Costa Rica for me was really magical. It is that kind of paradisey jungle that to me like hits some sort of primal part of my brain where it's like, oh, this is, you know, I could just sit here and watch the monkeys move through the trees and be very happy. And there was a bit of the scene.
Watch the monkeys like steal food from your back to back.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're in Lima, Peru. And the reason I bring all this up is because you've been to Lima, Peru. And I do want to hear more about that because the 10 seconds of stock footage we got on the show last night didn't really paint Lima all that well.
I would say.
Yeah. It kind of looked like Nevada. But there was that scene with Kelsey where they're on the date and they have to like trek up this hill and then they lay down on like a 45 degree angle and they look out over this huge valley. I thought that was super pretty. That to me was a lot like Costa Rica, not because it was a jungle there, because there wasn't, but just taking it in your surroundings, it seemed very pleasant.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, I mean, I guess they didn't show very much of Lima on the show. Like there were a few, there'd be like establishing shots every once in a while and I'd be like, oh, I recognize that building.
I recognize that Holiday Inn.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like they didn't show any of the like the things that I thought were really cool about when I went, which was, let's see, it was 6 years ago now. And I went down for a conference that was being held in Lima and then did like a little bit of like went to the conference. Then I went over to Cusco. I went to Machu Picchu and then like back to Lima for a little bit. And Lima is like, it's a beach city, basically, right? Like, depending on which neighborhood you're in, but it's on the Pacific Ocean. So you can surf there. And I remember seeing a lot of surfers when I would walk down by the water. And like, they didn't really show much of like that part of it. I do think, I can tell you about this kind of funny, the boat thing. That was a different village that I'd never been to. And they did the fishing thing.
But they kind of showed that they were like going down.
Yeah, that they're on the water, basically. Yeah.
Right.
I was gonna say, so I stayed at like an Airbnb when I was in Lima that was this family that ran it. And when I was first arriving and the mother of the family was like, oh, you don't know anybody in Lima? And I was like, no, I don't know anybody. Like, I'm going to this conference and I might know people there, but like, I'm not sure yet. And she was basically like, that's unacceptable. Like, you need to be able to have somebody to show you around the city. So she made her son like take me out around the city.
Whoa.
And it was really weird. So I was like, this is odd. Like, what is going on here? It felt like we were going on dates, but they were dates arranged by his mother. You know? But it was fun. We went out to, there was like a water fountain park where the fountains all like light up and they do like light shows and music and stuff. It was cool. I'm trying to remember. We went out and like ate food. We ate sushi there because Peruvian sushi is like an interesting fusion kind of thing. But they have like different sauces and stuff. Like there's a yellow mayo that's on a lot of things that's really good. Wow. There's also a lot of like Chinese Peruvian fusion food because there's a lot of like Chinese immigration to Lima. So you can get like really interesting Chinese food there that's sort of like a mixture. Yeah, some of like the best food ever. Like, well, they briefly mention on Madison and Peter's date when he's like, hey, have you tried the ceviche? And she's like, no. Yeah. And then they just never mention it again. But I'm like, the ceviche is amazing in Lima.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me. It was really good. Like, it was, it's what everyone goes for. It's what I remember the most. Yeah. Like, because it was fresh and it's right there and it's like right from the ocean. And they're, you know, unlike, I mean, I guess here too, but I don't know. It feels fresher.
last week's podcast we talked a little bit about EZR not knowing what happens when couples close the bedroom door behind them
shows. I'm not done with the traveling section.
Well, no, the reason
shame me in a second.
The reason I bring this up is I'm asking Caitlin if any of her setup dates with the mom's son ended with door closing and us wondering what happened.
No, he dropped me off at his mom's house. He didn't live there. He has like an apartment on his own.
He doesn't live at his mom's house. You live at his mom's house.
So he just would bring me back, but then like we'd usually hang out the next day. Like he would just take me out to get food. We'd talk about like we talked about TV a lot because they watch a lot of like American television there. So I remember that, and like he'd been to the U.S. I think his sister moved to like New York City a few years before that, so he'd visited a couple of times.
Huh. Interesting.
What I was going to bring up was basically about air travel in general.
Is this connected to the show called The Bachelor?
Yeah, a little bit. Not really. Sure. I mean, kind of. It's only because the more let's say sophisticated women who or pretend to be sophisticated on TV tend to say things like their hobbies tend to include, I love to travel. I love to like just see new cultures. And typically that means they love to just be, you know, they rarely, like Caitlin is out there with a Peruvian person. I went with Peruvian people who are, we're from Peru. And, you know, they're like, come. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. But these are not those kinds of travelers as far as we've seen. As a child, I traveled a lot because of my parents, and I'm a little bit more against it now, not just for the climate change reasons that are totally valid. And actually there's a new trend called flight shaming because, you know, you don't have to take a flight everywhere. Right. I thought that's a really good movement to get behind. But I feel like there's so much, homogeny in the world now, thanks to the internet, thanks to kind of the imperialist culture. So yeah. I'm interested in, you know, in the creation of a lot of cheap airlines like Spirit and Ryanair and, you know, whatever. Yeah. But it just kind of goes with The Bachelor in that there's a lot of this, that even when they go to new cultures like Victoria, right? F, who we don't know if she is like a through and through racist, but what, why do they like to travel? Like, that is my big question. Is it for vacation purposes or, you know, cause everyone likes being on vacation or right. Is it for, you know, I don't trust their, I love to see new cultures line.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
A majority of Americans don't have a passport, right? I think that's a true statistic. More than 50% of Americans don't have a passport. So travel means something a lot different for people that don't leave the country than it does for people that do. And there's a lot to see in the United States. I couldn't imagine myself on a giant cruise ship. Lots of people do it. Anytime I see a commercial, I watch a lot of Wheel of Fortune, which is all cruises all the time. And part of the reason I watch Wheel of Fortune is because I'm studying these commercials, wondering maybe at some point I'll figure out why people go on cruises. But I realize that so many people do that I'm the one that doesn't get it. they get off the boat, they look around in the tourist areas, and they get back on the boat. And that seems to scratch the itch of the people that want to do that. But I've been to parts of India where there is literally no American influence, no corporate influence, which is great. There's not even a McDonald's. I love that. But I realize that's not for everyone either. Maybe most people are kind of in the middle. They want to see the touristy spots because those are fun and hip, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more if they could. I also realize I'm a male, and it's different for women if they are traveling by themselves or maybe in pairs of women. It can be, you know, it can be unsafe to venture out. So to kind of use your phrase easier, I think there's a lot of nuance to what people mean when they travel. And I don't think I'm judging. I think I'm understanding that there's a lot of different opinions based on experiences and interests and access and safety.
Yeah, I feel like there's like an aspirational class thing about saying you enjoy traveling, right? That like being somebody who enjoys traveling and like likes to play tennis and golf and things like that, they all have like connotations, right? That like you have a certain amount of money and leisure to do these sorts of things. And so I feel like that might be why it's become so popular to say like I love traveling. Is it's like a way of sort of being like, oh, I'm an upper crusty person. Like I'm somebody who has sophistication and taste, you know, even if you don't actually travel all that much, or even if you don't really go off the beaten path at all, when you do travel, it still has sort of this sense yeah. that that's something you would only do if you're like a cultured, sophisticated person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny because as this is coming as it is a trend now to say that, the upper class has different aspirations that, you know,
yeah.
it's kind of the same old story of, I guess my first thing that comes to mind is like when you, in the 80s, when everyone started naming their kids Tiffany and Brittany, and then in the 90s, the aspirational class would name their kids Tiffany and Brittany. So if you know what generation, and that crosses over, unfortunately, into race, thinking that that gives their kid a leg up. So there's,
right.
So, you know, it goes all ways, but you know, just as we're starting to get it, the upper class is actually onto something else, and airfare has actually moved down a few notches into that cheap air that we're talking about, you know, that cheap air travel that we're talking about.
Right. Costa Rica, when they were coming back from commercial and they showed Costa Rica, it screams like, but I guess what you're saying, aspirational class, there's jungles and there's monkeys and there's waterfalls and, you know, and then Lima just I didn't get that same amount of excitement.
But oh, I think it's because you hadn't been ways, there.
Though, well, in some ways it's like, I had to stop and say, well, actually, come on, Craig, you're being hypocritical because you like going to places that aren't gussied up for the camera. So who are you to judge Lima? You know, it's probably the coolest place ever. Just because they stayed in a hotel that looked like a CIA data center doesn't mean that yeah. Lima itself is all that bad.
Yeah. It's also like Lima is a city, and where they were in right. Costa Rica was like a very more like right, rural, right. jungly area.
Yeah. If they were in San Jose or something, it'd be a lot different. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our podcast because nothing happened on that episode last night. I guess. Only have one thing, and it's the note that Hannah Ann wrote to herself.
Oh yeah.
And how cute that was. It was on pink paper. And I'm sure she sprayed perfume on it. She dotted her eyes with little hearts.
She did. It was in purple pen too, I think, right?
Oh my
god. Wasn't that amazing?
For me. Yeah. No, well, there's an interesting phenomenon going on Twitter. Or do you want to talk about Hannah Ann?
Well, I don't really care. That's just the only thing that really stuck out. Other than, you know, Kelly getting cut. I imagine you two have a lot to say about that.
Well, okay. The internet is telling me that Peter is considered a bad bachelor. Now, that cannot just be said and that be okay. And everyone goes, huh. Because as we know, as we've talked about, Craig, before, the phenomenon with The Bachelor is that there's some kind of sentiment put out and everyone kind of agrees without analyzing. And that's why we wanted to have a podcast in the first place, because mm-hmm. I don't like that's true.
Okay. So we wanted to go against mainstream Bachelor Nation.
Or maybe even prop it up if it makes sense, but only if it's justified with evidence and what we see.
Right.
I'm just, yeah, it's frustrating that Bachelor Nation seems to have this kind of zeitgeisty, everyone kind of thinks exactly the same way. Okay, so, and in this list of bad bachelors, there's always going to be four, honestly, in my eyes, a little bit of racial reasons, Juan Pablo is going to be in there. To me, he's part of the old guard. The show was a different show back then, and I was thoroughly entertained by his season at the time. I was a little young. Obviously, I was younger, but I thought it was fine. People were upset at him because he didn't say, I love you, and he didn't. And this was a time when people, this was a time in Bachelor history where people gave out promise rings. Oh, since we're talking about this, I guess I better just play my little drop so I can just go off on a rant. So give me one second.
And now for some Bachelor franchise history here on Bachelor Masters.
I forgot about that drop. That's Mark, the fourth Bachelor Master. Now, hold on a second. So, EZR, if you're going to go on a rant, is there anything, Caitlin, you want to say before we hand it over to EZR to rant?
I definitely have stuff I want to bring up in the fashion roundup.
Ooh, okay.
I have some thoughts on outfits that were worn this week and, you know, things that I could definitely say about, I guess, all of the women at this point. But
okay. I'm going to put on my genie hat and see if I can predict what EZR is going to rant about here. History lesson, Juan Pablo, Peter. Did you know that they figured out who Peter... Is this a spoiler? Peter did something...
Okay. We are spoiler free. I don't know what you're going to say, but I don't like the way you're sounding.
Peter did something.
Well, it already happened, but we don't know it yet.
Oh my God. He had sex with someone?
He definitely did.
Yeah, he had sex with someone.
There's no way he didn't.
When?
Sydney, in the pool, in the hot
tub. What?
Yeah, I heard that too.
You guys lied to me. You guys both said that that's all they did in the night.
What? Oh, well, this was all part of your what happens behind closed doors thing that
so it's always
I still
sex?
Don't understand.
Yeah, I still don't understand either. Look at you.
No, they didn't have to be sex, but apparently they did have sex. But it raises the question, no sex has ever been had in a pool or hot tub that worked.
Wait, how?
Exactly. People think it's romantic to have sex in a hot tub, but it's not. It's gross and it doesn't work.
Wait. So the cameras went away and it was dark and they were still making out or in the pool.
She was kind of already in the position, if you know what I mean.
Gross.
But we know it's going to happen because at the end of each episode, they keep showing a clip where a woman is confronting Peter and he's like, yeah, I had sex with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you knew
but
this.
I feel like she's not going to be the only one he has sex with for sure. He's going to have sex with probably all the women.
Yeah, but those will be suites, in the official coned off area of the fantasy suite. See, this is why I brought this up. I always remind myself why I bring stuff up. EZR over here. You played the history drop. So you're going to talk some Bachelor history. Mm. See, for a long time, Caitlin, as you know, they weren't allowed to say that they had ever had sex in fantasy suites. Then Nick Viall famously outed Andy Dorfman on that, and it's like, okay, they're having sex in the fantasy suite. So now we live in a world where, sure, have sex in the fantasy suite, but if you have sex before the fantasy suite, it's like, whoa, I can't believe you did that. So I don't know if that's where you were going to head, EZR, specifically, but I imagine it probably has something to do with how times have changed or something for Peter.
Kind of, except that now you took all the juice out of my history lesson.
Well, here,
that's so much juicier.
Okay, play the drop again and then go right into it. I won't say it, Pete, I promise.
I can't believe they had sex. We've said before on the... No, Greg, now you got me on this. We've said before that you can't have sex on national TV unless you say I love you first so that the people at home can relax and calm down.
He cut her.
Damn.
Not only did he not say I love her, he cut her.
I know.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is great. People... Did you know this, Caitlin?
I feel like I knew something. It was in one of the previews a few episodes ago where somebody was like, oh my God, he had sex with Cindy in the hot spring. And And then I was like, oh my God, so that definitely happened. But then they didn't show it yet. So I was like, did I imagine that? But I didn't. I didn't imagine.
I can't believe that. That is crazy.
But the thing is, look. Okay, hold on. This is going to sound strange. Maybe it sounds like bro, maybe too bro of me. But when you're in a hot tub or hot spring or whatever,
you're like one piece of cloth away.
Yeah, you're so close anyway. The transition between not having sex and sex is very, very thin line. But also, it's not going to be any good. So it's not like passionate, romantic hotel sex.
So what you're saying is it essentially doesn't count because it wouldn't even be good.
That's exactly kind of what I'm saying, yes.
Exactly, kind of.
Well, Like there's putting it in, and then there's like making love. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh my goodness! You know why? I feel like everyone else has this sex jar, like, you know, that I don't. And this is what we were saying last week too. Like, you know, everyone's looking at each other like, yeah, they did it, and I'm like, huh? They did what? They ate ice cream? You know, like I have this. It's not innocence. It's like straight up naive, like just stupid about sex stuff because I'm like. Last week we were saying that they were on top of each other. Ergo, they did not have sex. And now my world is like, I thought I had a handle on it for the first time in my life.
I don't remember saying that they didn't have sex, but I don't think I had any sort of confirmation that they had sex until last night after they showed that clip.
I can't wait to see that. That's very hard. See, okay, so let me segue
well,
then.
Hold on, Caitlin.
No.
It upsets, am I right? It upsets, what's her name? Because she's saving herself till she's married.
Madison, yeah.
Oh,
that's where,
Madison,
where it all goes
yeah.
down. Yeah. Because she's like, I can't believe you
but
had
But I'm not sure if
sex.
That's when she first brings it up or if it's, I guess it could happen at several points, but it could also happen after some
fantasy
suites. Because,
right.
Yeah, because you know he's going to be like boning the women in that.
Yeah.
And so if Madison's in the top three, which I assume she will be.
Yeah.
But she's not the first date that he goes on to the fantasy suite.
Right. Of
I can
course,
also
yeah,
see it being then, right? That it's like, oh, this would be a problem for me if you had sex with somebody else. And he'd be like, whoops, I've had sex with at least two people on this show.
Yeah. So it'll be like Luke P. when he flipped out on Hannah last season.
When he issued that sort of ultimatum about how she can't have sex.
Right. Sorry to derail the whole.
Yeah, you know, it's like if I'm about to give my lesson in front of the whole class and then someone comes in and yells like fire drill. And I'm like, I can't even. It's a fake fire drill. Like, I can't concentrate.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to reset. Play the drop and then go right into it.
Too late.
And we'll cheer. We'll cheer.
No. Do not patronize me. I'm so mad. No, I'm kidding. I really am shocked. Like, I have no. I don't care about what I was going to say anymore.
Well, see, I'm kind of shocked that you're so shocked. I mean, all they did is, like, literally move a thin piece of fabric and insert. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny
that's
or gross.
That's gross, Craig. Like, that's gross to me. I don't know how to, like, that's gross to me.
To quote Caitlin last week, you have a kid.
Yes. I'm telling you, I have a bad... I'm just like that. I'm just like that. Like, I'm the one person who still goes, ew, when people kiss.
Oh, man. This is like if we're talking to Madison about this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so whatever about so much in my life. Like, I'll ride to the 7-Eleven with no bike seat and get a six-pack. But then, for some reason, sex is completely like... Like, I've swatted it off the table. I have no idea what's going on ever. Like, I don't understand so much, like, about it still. Apparently.
Whoa. This is heavy.
Yeah, kind of. Except it's not. It's, like, super normal to me. I still have all these, like, oh, gross. Ugh. Anyway, okay.
Okay.
Okay, here.
Here we go.
Here.
And now, for some Bachelor franchise history... Here on Bachelor Masters.
I'm biting my tongue.
Okay. You guys all know that Mike Fly started off the show as they were going to get married on the last episode. That was the original concept. Because he had come up with another concept called Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? And it was a 3-hour live streaming event where... the person at the end, they did actually get married, and it was, you guys remember that show? Caitlin, you might be too young.
Vaguely? I mean, it sounds like a thing. I don't think I'd ever seen it, but I'd heard the title before.
I think I was in like seventh grade or something like that. Like, it was a good age for me to be watching TV. And so he brought that concept into a series, and that lasted, you know, whatever, 4 months. And then the last night was supposed to be you're married. And they turned it into you're engaged, because no one could do you're married if they were serious about it. So then there was a time in the early 2000s where people kind of dipped and decided to just make it all about the promise ring. And, you know, we'll figure this out when we're off the air, which was very healthy of them in a way. But it was also not fun for us as the audience. We want to see like big time commitment, right? So when people talk about the worst bachelors, to me, the worst seasons were when there was no competition. And the people that come to mind immediately are Ben F. Flasnick, because his, Craig, do you remember Courtney, the supermodel, was his, was like on the show. So it was a supermodel with a bunch of like, not a supermodel, but a model, like a beautiful woman.
Yeah. And you've talked about
her. With like a bunch of normal women. Yeah. And then there was, you know, and then milquetoast bachelors like Ben H., like the, you know, teacher's pet. Chris Soules was kind of boring. So no competition. And then, but a season I did like, which everyone hated, was Brad Womack, because they called him a commitment phobe, because he, I thought very bravely, chose not to choose between two women he didn't see a future with on TV. I thought that was brave. And everyone said, oh, you know, he's just a man. So anyway, my point of this whole rant was that I don't think Peter's a bad bachelor, because everyone's been in the competition so far, right? Like, we've been amazed by all the women he's kind of like greenlit. Like, oh yeah, I see a future with you. I see a future with you. I see a future with you. And he's not, I mean, from all this sex stuff, he's not boring. He gets them there. And what does a bad, like, it's hard for me to, why do people say he's a bad, I mean, I understand the emotional thing and we'll get to that, but like, other than the fact that everyone thinks he's trying to elicit emotion out of women forcefully, what is that it?
Multiple choice test. Yeah.
Right. Is that it?
Well, maybe. I feel like I've also heard a lot of people like on Twitter and places like that saying like Colton was one of the worst bachelors, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And he wasn't doing the same thing as Peter in terms of like the eliciting emotional kind of stuff. But I feel like what a lot of people didn't like about Colton was like how confused he would get about things, like how often he'd be like, one woman told me one thing and another woman told me another thing and I can't figure out what's going on. Now I'm very frustrated, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a lot of the like the root of people not liking him, and that he is also a little boring, obviously.
Yeah.
With Colton, wasn't it that he was, I mean, like in my eyes, he was, like you said, because he's simple. He's like a simple guy, and because he was a little bit milquetoast, he wasn't that fun to watch because he couldn't figure things out. And then, you know, at some point we kind of knew, because he was the virgin bachelor, like it couldn't have gone beyond fantasy suites. We already kind of had that in our plan. So whoever he chose early on, although I guess Hannah Goodwin kind of gave us a run for the money, you know, for like our money, because he had a lot of sexual chemistry with her. So yeah, everything was, and we were looking forward to this one scene for so damn long. So I guess like that made for an adventure.
It was actually like, in context of the episode it aired in, the fence jump was actually really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I love the way it actually played out. So maybe like the whole Band-Aid thing, and we're going to get back to Band-Aids, is kind of a interesting symbolic representation of being a bad bachelor, because he has to tell everyone that his bandage is off. And is that like a compulsive need for like mommy attention, or is it like a nervous tick, like conversation starter?
I think he was bringing it up because he legitimately thought they wouldn't notice something about him. Mm. He's like, they won't know this thing. I have to tell them that something's changed.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole ton to unpack here, which is surprising because the episode sucks. Credit to you, EZR, for once again finding the deeper meaning. Peter has a thirst for attention. And I've noticed it more. I noticed it most last night, but I've been noticing it all along, which is he's kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? A douche. He's kind of a douche when it comes to arguing. So he's had a few little arguments, right? Usually around the multiple, what I call the multiple choice quiz, which is, you know, tell me what, if you're in this for the right reasons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We've talked about this all season. He always interrupts her, whoever he's arguing with. Like, could you imagine being with him as a couple, boyfriend, girlfriend, and having an argument with him? He always jumps in and has to, he doesn't let the woman finish. And I'm guilty of that with my partners, so I see it. It comes from, like, a need for validation that he gets. But, you know, I don't hold it against him to talk about the cut on his forehead because it's there and he has to stare at it in the mirror all the time. But even to say, like, well, what do you think of my scar? It's like, it definitely shows a little bit of that kind of behavior. And beyond all that, EZR, to your point, is he a bad bachelor? We have said all along since the podcast started, what, 4 years ago now? That, like voting, Americans, they say they want one thing and then they actually like another. So it's like they say that, you know, Americans vote against their best interests. You know, we'll vote against what we actually want. It's sort of like that with Bachelor Nation. It's like we say we want a stand-up guy who does this and is there for the right reasons and says these things and goes on dates and doesn't stir drama and all of that. But what we really want is someone who's completely bonkers and blah, 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 blah. So I think people say he's a bad bachelor because what they really want is craziness. They want Juan Pablo, even though they're not ever say it in polite company.
Mm. Okay, so you think it's one of these, like, kind of like a, you actually want what you say you don't want so that you get what you don't want and you're, like, miserable or something. There's something, I know where I'm going because I hate when people act that way. So that's why it bothers me so much.
It should. It's like you said, it's why we started the podcast, is to create an alternative narrative that analyzes it based on evidence. Because, you know, Peter actually, when it comes down to it, is a good bachelor. He's playing the game just like it was designed to be played. He doesn't talk about anything other than, are you here for the right reasons? has a job.
He has a job. Yes. Wow. I was thinking about, I think he said this on the date with Natasha during the daytime portion where she was saying something about how, like, she liked how she could be honest with him from, like, the very first moment she met him, right? And he was like, it's this process. It's a great process. And I was like, he loves the bachelor process. He loves it.
Yes, he does.
They default to the process, like ultimate faith, like religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so old-fashioned, the process. So I don't, it's very hard to kind of buy in. And now that we're in, I still am, like, fighting it every step of the way. Well, you know, I take issue with how everyone's jumping on that bandwagon, that he loves crying women and emotional women and drama, because if that was true, Madison wouldn't be his favorite. You know, he even says it's so easy with her. I'm so happy with her. We talked about, I think he has broken wing syndrome.
Yes.
He does have that.
Which is your version of, your broken wing syndrome is analogous to my, he needs crying, breaking down women in front of him. Otherwise, it's not love.
A few tweaks around there, but okay. Just for like lumping it together sake. Okay. But I don't think that that's, oh, if that's not true 100% of the time, then it's not true. Or if it's true with more than one exception, then it's not true. You know, he does. Madison's number one, just from what we've seen.
Well, let's go to the tape. Because what got Kelly cut was specifically when she says that relationships should be fun. That was exactly what she said. And that was it for her.
Okay, so...
He's like, is there anything other than fun that you look for?
No, Craig.
That's what he said.
Okay. Kelly, to me, has become kind of the new emotional intelligence because yeah, she boring. Was so cocky.
She needs to look
she
in the mirror.
She was so rude. Yeah. But, I mean...
she's a lawyer, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. She's so confident. I think he's scared of any woman who takes it too easy breezy, because that means they could be pulling a Jed. That's how I took that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he could worries be. That if she's so laid back, it means she doesn't actually care, I think is what he was saying, right? That like,
yes.
When she said that thing about like, she has so much fun with him, he's like, is this more than fun to you though? And I think that's what he was getting at, is that, I mean, I think there is a certain point that he does seem to really appreciate a level of like drama in conversations with women, but that I don't know that's the only thing. I think for him that was sort of like a trigger word, maybe, that he was just like, oh, she says it's just fun, which means to her that like, this is, you know, she doesn't want to marry me, she just wants to date me for a long time or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that at all, Caitlin, but I gave this a little thought on my bus ride home today, which is, I think that's the read. And I'm going to contradict myself here. She said, you know, relationships should be fun. It's all cool, laid back. And he was like turned off by that because he's worried that she's going to turn into Jed, like you said. But what it's really about is she's boring. She spent so much time explaining what's wrong with all these other women that she did a good job of deflecting the fact that she's just boring.
Yeah, she's not passionate.
Right. And that I can understand. I probably would have cut her too. Because she's just kind of like, eh.
Right. Well, imagine building someone up from one night, right. And then that was I did a half meme, but I really think that when you build someone up from knowing them from one night, it's never gonna go well. Especially like a wedding where everything's dreamy, mm-hmm. and a hotel where you're both, you know, there's the access to rooms, there's all these possibilities, and then it goes away, and it could be a great memory, or it could be a, you know, the reality always hits.
Yeah.
So on top of all that, she's mm-hmm. a cocky, confident, like too confident. And, you know, the Kelly really reminds me of like a pro athlete. Like she only learned how to be in a courtroom. Mm. She does not, like you said, she's not fun. She doesn't speak, like she's not making her case about anything. I went to a school, we talked about this, Craig, where a lot of pro athletes or, you know, future pro athletes got in, and they did not know, maybe they were not very good at writing, or, and they got a great education, which is great for them. But when they start off at like almost like a third grade level, I'm like, so this person has never, ever been asked to do, you know, any kind of higher level thinking.
Yeah. Well, that's why Tiger Woods melted down so famously, is because his dad absolutely screwed him up, because he had him playing basically professional golf at age 3. I mean, he was on Johnny Carson or whatever at age 3 and knows nothing except for golf. And so strippers and Vegas and all that kind of stuff, it just all kind of came unraveled. And now he's still playing golf because that's all he knows. It's like, good dude, go buy an island somewhere. But
it's something I think
like
you see
saying.
With like a lot of pro athletes, though, yeah. right? That like your whole life is this one thing, and then when you leave, like there's all these things where like you hear this a lot about like football players and hockey players where they'll retire from their sport and then they have like drug problems because they don't know what else to do with their life. They're just like lost.
Yeah, and I certainly saw it. You know, I've said before, my brother was an All-American swimmer, so everyone thought I was going to be some stud swimmer, and I was swimming all the time, and I hated it. I finally mustered the energy to quit and get, you know, go do other things. You must have seen or had that ice skating, Caitlin. Oh, yeah. You dedicate so much time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Breaking out of that.
When I retired, it was like I literally had no idea what I was interested in other than skating. There was definitely like a few years of depression there where I was just like, what do I care about? What am I interested in doing? This has been the only thing that like I cared about for so long and put all of my energy into that. Yeah. It really felt like your whole life just ends at that point. Right. Yeah. You know,
actually, you know, this brings up something I've been wanting to do. Easier. You're going to hate this.
Mm.
Can you play the Alabama country music just because we need something to play?
Oh, here.
time for the ice skating, world ice skating minute with Caitlin. So the world, all these world champions, the national championships are happening. What's the scoop? Who's going to win? Who's winning? What's going on?
So the U.S. Nationals happened a couple of weeks ago, and the World Championships are coming up in a couple of weeks. So there's a lot of, well, I guess the big story on the men's side, like men's singles, is that Nathan Chen won his fourth national title, which is the first time that's happened in like 30-something years that a man has won four. Mm-hmm. He's extremely dominant right now in terms of like, there's literally no one else in the U.S. who is going to beat him. Like, he could have fallen multiple times. He would have still won. Wow. And in the world, there's only one other person who, like, there's basically a rivalry between Nathan Chen of the U.S. and Yuzuru Hanyu of Japan, who are like the only two men who can approach each other in terms of scores and talent and stuff like that. So that's going to be the big showdown at the World Championships, is who's going to win that. Hanyu just did another competition this week, the Four Continents competition, which is like, it's basically was invented to be an alternative to like, there's the European Championships, which is like all the European.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, yeah, on TV. Yeah.
Four Continents is like, it's the US, Canada, Australia, and like every Asian country. No Europeans can enter.
No Europeans.
So it's like the opposite of the Europeans, basically. And Hanyu won that in like a landslide. He made record scores. So now it's like the competition is really set up for the World Championships and seeing what's going to happen between the two of them. On the women's single side in the U.S., Alyssa Liu won her second national title. She's 14, so she won her first at 13 last year. She's not old enough to compete at the Senior World Championships, and she won't be for another 2 years. So she can't go. But basically she won because, well, this year she landed, it was three triple axels total and a quad lutz. And she's the only American woman who's doing a quad. So that's her big advantage is points wise in the scoring. Like if you do a quadruple jump and you actually land it and it's clean, like you are so far ahead points wise. So the other two like top US women are both much older than Liu, like much older. They're a decade older, basically. Yeah. They're both in their early-ish 20s. Like one's 22 and the other's 24. It's Mariah Bell and Brady Tennell. And so they'll be going to the World Championships again. And they're both women who have placed in the top 10, but they're not going to medal, and they're not likely to medal in the next few years just because on the international scene, the only women who are winning competitions internationally now are Russian. Russian women are so, so dominant. And it's a jumping thing again to a certain extent. Like there's three young Russian women. They're all, one's 15, I think the two other are 16. So this is their first big international season where they can compete on the senior level because of age restrictions. And two of them have multiple quadruple jumps that they do. And the other one has multiple triple axels that she does. Whoa. So they're both just like, all three of these women are the ones that everyone expects to win all three medals because for the most part, their scores haven't even been close to like nobody's been challenging remotely. Right. So they would have to make significant mistakes to really open up a door for somebody else to medal. Now it's more this kind of interesting conversation about between the three of them, like who has the better style and the better artistry because they're the only ones who can compete with each other.
Right. It comes down to, other factors.
Yeah. So there's been some interesting stuff with like Alyona Kostornaya is my favorite of the three. And she's the one who does the triple axels, but not quads. I think she has the best style and she's often been winning lately, in part because the judges tend to agree that they think her skating skills are stronger and her artistry is stronger, even though she doesn't have the quad jumps. And then between the other two, they both do quads, but there can be, you know, opportunities for mistakes when you're doing the hardest jumps and falls and things like that. So that's kind of what's going on the single side. I'm trying to think if there's anything exciting about pairs or ice dancing to bring up internationally.
I don't think there's anything exciting about ice dancing.
Oh, it's like the most interesting artistic form in skating right now, I think.
Well, it's like any like nuanced sport, right? There's people that love it because they know it. And then,
it is. But I think you do have to sort of understand a bit more in terms of like one of the things
that was
when they changed the scoring
footwork
system. Yeah. Yes. Is like footwork done really well is really hard, and there is differences, but it doesn't look too different to, like, an average viewer's eye. The same thing with, like, how they score elements are, like, you can get bonus points for doing something better. So it's, like, they call it grade of execution bonus. And a lot of people are often, like, I can't tell the difference between, like, why this person got, like, a +5 grade of execution and this other person got, like, a +1 or whatever. Right. And there's so many little minute details about, like, the speed coming in and out, whether or not your toe pick hit. Like, did you do footwork into the jump and did you do something out of it? Like, all those things kind of add in to how difficult they count it. And then all those points add up to what makes, like, the huge margins of difference. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it is. There's a lot of, like, nuance that you don't get unless you're regularly watching.
Huh. Well, let's follow up in a couple weeks after the World Championships with another ice skating minute with co-host Caitlin.
Okay.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get you some, like, like that scraping noise that I hate.
Yeah, we gotta come. I think we need a good drop for that. That'll be a lot of fun.
We'll
put our heads together on that.
Okay.
The world champion drop. Okay, so Peter, I think I'm kind of over the conversation of whether or not he's a good bachelor. I think we did that. Or unless you have more to say, EZR.
And then get on to Madison.
Ooh. Okay, Madison.
Okay.
I have a few things that were mainly the conversation that they had at the dinner portion, like the night portion, I guess, mm-hmm. of their one-on-one date at the beginning of the episode. There were a few things that stood out to me. I think one of them was, you know, they were kind of flashing back between the women back in the hotel room saying, like, oh, you know, Madison's really religious and she wants her husband to be, like, the faith leader of the family, et cetera. And then her mm-hmm. starting to talk to Peter about her religion. And it seemed to me like, like, he didn't fully address what she was bringing up with him, if that makes sense. Like,
really?
Like, she was saying, like, this is a huge part of her life. It's very important to her. And he was sort of like, yeah, I was raised Christian, so that's something I'm into. And I was like, oh, I don't know if, like, this might be part of the mismatch that I assume we'll see in the next few weeks, is that I don't know if he fully realizes, like, the depth of her religion. You know?
I totally thought that he understood how important it was to her, and then kind of made her believe, and probably made himself believe, that he could get that religious. Do you even know her faith? Like, what is her denomination? Or,
I mean, it's got to be some sort of Christianity.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's some sort of Protestant Christianity.
Absolutely. How'd you guess?
Well, I have relatives who are apostolic Pentecostal. Uh-huh. And I don't think she's that, because Pentecostals don't like women wearing makeup or pants or things like that. Uh-huh. Those things. So.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was interesting about that conversation, it actually goes back to our conversation about language and bilingualism last time, is that she said something that I thought was actually, no matter what you think about someone being religious, was actually really deep, and I thought was a good thing to say, because then you know she's her and she's confident. She's confident about herself. She said that she takes on being religious fully. It wasn't just passed down to her. Now, like I was saying last week about speaking a language, I think with Peter, it's something, you know, it's not about trying to shame someone for attempting to speak a language. I think by him, it's kind of a put on, and it's a presumption for him that he's good at it and it's inherited without really trying. And he's a pilot, like his dad's a pilot. Like, there's a lot of passing on mm-hmm. that I think his parents have never connected to actually trying really hard. And this might actually go back to his mom coddling him. Like, there's a lot of, like, links here mm-hmm. that are you know, and yeah. As a woman, if I was Madison or as a partner, I would find that a little bit lazy on his part, and I wouldn't find that as attractive. Like, if she's really that faith-based and works at it, studies whatever that takes, I would not be excited about him. So, you know, I do want to know what her faith is, though. Like, exact, precisely.
Where is she from?
I feel
from?
Like I'm going to guess Baptist.
Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Baptist.
That's my assumption, though. You know, it could be any number of things. But, Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It was interesting to me that she had brought up that it's not just that she was raised Christian, right? That, like, it's something that she fully adopts as, like, this is very important to her. It's not just something about her parents took her to church, but she wasn't super involved in it or anything like that. And, yeah, I'm not sure if, like, I don't know if either one of them fully picked up that that might be a real mismatch at this point. Mm-hmm. I feel like he almost sort of covered the, like, him being like, oh, yeah, I could definitely be religious. Also, I'm falling in love with you, you know?
Right, right.
It was, like, a very quick transition. And I feel like for her, maybe that was just, like, you know, well, he was raised Christian and he's in love with me. He seems like a good guy. We could probably get there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The fact that he's assuming that it could be an easy undertaking shows to me who he is more than the rest of what everyone else is saying about how he emotionally gives into women, like, you know, all these other things. Like, it's not like my favorite band is this and then you're dating someone, you're like, I could like that band. Like, it's not like that. This is a hard, you know, if you, every very religious family I know, they put a lot, that's like their number one pastime other than, you know, working to eat. So I don't.
Who are you going to marry?
No.
Church related activities. And yeah, because if you're super religious, it's like you don't just go to church on Sunday. You would go multiple times per week. And there's like youth group and things like that. Yeah.
There is precedent, right? Like Womack or who was the first bachelor? The blonde guy?
Oh, like Firestone?
Wasn't he religious and he ended up marrying and having kids now with who he picked who was religious?
There is an like we've talked about this being every single season, they're all religious.
Because I liked what you said earlier. It was like she really embraces religion without any external factors and that you respect that. And I was like, well, doesn't it seem a little going on The Bachelor doesn't really line up with that? But it has happened. And that's kind of, there was more of that back in the day on the show.
Well, the process is completely old fashioned.
Right.
Not like actually religious.
Yeah, that it's very like chaste up until a certain point, right?
Yeah.
That like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sense. It's always happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm, I think it totally fits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there was another religion point I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys clocked this on Kelsey's date, her one-on-one, when she was talking about her relationship with her dad and how they'd been reestablishing it.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, when she mentioned that she talked to him about, like, well, why did you leave the family, basically? And he said God told him to do it.
God told you to leave your family in Iowa and go start another family in another country. What a douche.
Yeah, what a cop. God.
Yeah, I was like, wow, all right, I would listen to like hours of Kelsey talking about that conversation with her dad because what the hell?
Yeah. And she, I mean, based on that one thing that's happened to her, she is so needy. And he likes that. That is not a functioning anything.
And I did like her a lot more on this date. Like I was like, oh, she seems like a nice person. Yeah. I get it, but yeah, it does seem like something where, I mean, he had said during the date, like, he loved it that she wasn't affected by her family stuff. But he meant it in, like, he meant it in a way that, like, she wasn't, because her parents' marriage hadn't worked out, but she was still, like, I want to find one person to marry for the rest of my life. That's what he meant,
right? Yeah, he's normalizing it.
Yeah, that she wasn't, like, disillusioned by her parents' relationship to the point where she was like, I don't want to be in a relationship or like, I don't ever see myself getting married, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's fully thought about like how much that past actually would affect her in relationships, even if she is still very willing to be in them. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, that's what a male tends to do when they see a dysfunctional relationship.
Is
to say, I'll never get married if that's the way it's going to go. If they see their parents divorced like that. Unfortunately, like a woman seeing that or a girl at the time tends to skew the other way and think, when I get married, it's only going to be if it stays and he better promise me he's never going to do that. Mm. Like, you know, Kelsey is not well.
Isn't that built into marriage? I promise you I'm not going to leave you and our kids to move to a different country and start another family.
It's
that,
like,
that's kind of implied.
It should be that, right in your vows.
That like
it's the first checkbox.
Like, well, that like
yes.
obsessive need for it to like never have like, you know, she does not see. She seems like the kind of person who's always checking in. Are you still mm-hmm. there? Are you? Did, right, were right, you going right. to go to the store for 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you texting you as you're walking there?
Like, are you texting? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I feel like she hasn't addressed. These issues with herself, you know what I mean? Yeah. That like, it seems like she's totally not conscious of the fact that like, this plays into how she acts in a relationship.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And with other women, as we've seen, you know, or as or like it, when she's not with the person and how she acts, you know, like the if she's self-medicating in all kinds of ways, and it just sounds like a huge like you need to really unroll that mm-hmm. piece of yarn. Okay, Victoria F.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. We're kind of short on time, and we still got to hit the fashion roundup.
Mm.
I vote mm-hmm. we don't talk about Victoria F.
I have just one thing.
Okay, all right.
I have even have audio for it. That's the only reason okay.
Well,
I really
then let's
have
not
it.
Talk about Hannah Ann. We'll just okay. do Victoria F.
That's fine.
We'll
yeah, I feel like that's fine.
And then we'll
yeah,
end it.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Okay. All right.
I know we had left that other 101 kind of a weird spot.
If, you know, that's what you want to use our time to talk about. It's like every single time we're together, I feel like you're always in a mood, and it's extremely frustrating because I feel like I just don't know how to like move forward if this keeps happening. Like, I don't get it.
And I loved like
okay, so then what did I do?
I feel like I don't know why it's like you're attacking me for
I'm
asking.
I'm not attacking.
I think he's totally right about that. I think she totally hates him, like I said last week. And makes
I got a different take.
Switch. Okay,
I got
well,
a different take.
I'll tell you. And makes the switch to blaming him. So, like, in that way, she's the manipulator of the conversation. Let's just finish their conversation, and then I'll at the end, I especially like.
I can you.
Yeah, but in a way you are. It's like, it's not, you're saying like this, I'm in a mood whenever we talk. There's, A, I'm not in a mood. I do feel like you have given me reasons to doubt. And I've tried my best to move past those. I'm not in a mood every time I'm with you. I just being completely honest and fair.
No, I'm not saying that. No, that. Okay, okay. I think at the end of the day, I just like don't want to get to the end and then like lose you.
What a cop out! Like that's the way to
Ooh.
Say. But to her, not to her credit, but just like we said last week with Victoria P. She sounded like she would have been way more rude and mean if it hadn't been on TV. Because I think she had to stop herself and like acknowledge, okay, fine, you're not mad. That would not have gone that way if she was. She did seem like she was cutting herself off.
I have Victoria F. figured out. Partly because I'm like
You'd
that.
Be the first person, Craig.
Yeah.
I know Victoria F.'s game. In and out. And you know I don't like her. I haven't liked her from the get-go. I blasted her for her White Lives Matter BS. She, you know, her faking that she doesn't know how to model. All that stuff. So I got into a little bit of a disagreement with @BachelorWiseGuy last night on Twitter, which is he was saying, wow, she's clearly, you know, inconsistent and confused and on the defensive and all these kind of, you know, things like that. I'm like, no. Nuh-uh-uh-uh. She knows exactly what she is doing. She has played this role she's playing many times before. Remember, she's been with married men. And this little act that she's doing is so perfect. If you're a married man and you're like, oh, you know, we got to end this because, you know, I really should go back to my wife and kids. It's like, oh, really? You know, you're always in a mood when I talk to you and puppy dog eyes. And are you sure? She gets off on the power trip that she gets by going into this this role that she's playing. And she's playing it with Peter and it's working. Now, it might not end up working because he's not married and he's younger or whatever, a little more inexperienced. But it's worked for her many times before. And it
is working in this moment. That's my take.
Okay, but does she actually like Peter? Or I guess in this case, since you're talking about bigger picture, does she actually like anyone, or is it all right. about power?
Yeah,
all the
yeah.
time?
Well, I was thinking about this. You know, I guess just here's what I was thinking. I don't know if this is gross or not, but I'm not a particularly big as a male, as a heterosexual male. I'm not a fan of BJs. Okay, because to me it's about power, and I'm not judging guys like. Power is sexy, and as long as power is distributed equally amongst partners, I don't see any problem with that. Me personally, I don't like sitting there and having that power dynamic with my partner, even if it's something they like. It's just something I'm not really into, okay? So this is her power trip. She gets off on the power. So does she like Peter enough that this is her... To her, I imagine that sex, while sex is fun, it's really about the power that she holds because she's a woman and the guys are lusting over her. Just like, you catch my drift?
Oh, you're saying the woman has the power. I thought you meant the
power. I think when a guy receives a BJ, it's a power trip for the guy. I'm just translating that to her. I think her little game she's playing is her power trip that she gets off on, which is starting a little bit of an argument, trying to pull him in to like gush over her because they're worried that she's gonna leave, and it's the same kind of power trip that some people really get off on when it comes to sex and sexual relationships.
See, I'd seen this thing on Twitter that everyone was sort of like, why did he keep her when all of their conversations are like this, right? And several people are like, oh, he's keeping her because he just really wants to have sex with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like she has to be in the top three then so he can do that.
Yep.
And I think that is a valid point that he might just be like, it's all lust for him at this point, and he's just blowing past all of these red flags that are like, you guys are never going to work together.
Why not?
You can't even have a conversation.
She's like the marionette puppet master, why not? Yeah, it's like, it could be fun to be the puppet. And we've said this many times going all the way back Coast Chris, which is particularly the guy bachelors as opposed to the bachelorettes, are definitely picking the third person simply for sex. I mean, I would. You have your two people that you could see a future with, and then you have your third one you want to have sex with. Why wouldn't you do that? So,
but why Victoria? I have not seen any sexual chemistry.
No, exactly what Caitlin just said. There's that lust there that I think.
But we haven't seen him be lustful towards.
Yeah, I think it's like chemistry, honestly. I think it's just he thinks she's really hot.
Okay.
But I can see she's very pretty.
But there is something sexy about this role that she's playing. Maybe I'm seeing it because it's just something I'm into or have been into. Or
it's the act is part of the
they're playing roles. Okay. Yeah, it's like they're acting, and that's part of the ritual, the seduction. She's like a seductress.
Yeah, because I think if he's actually thinking about her in the terms that he keeps on saying, he's thinking about all the women and that all of his conversations on those sort of, you know, giving them the quiz kind of stuff where he's like, I need to see this person as somebody I'm going to be married to. I don't know how on earth he could see her as somebody he'd be married to when, like, they just argue all the time over ridiculous things, right? Yeah. That, like, and he seems frustrated with her some of the time, but then yet he still keeps on giving her roses. And
Which I guess that's what I'm trying to say is I totally get it. Keep her for the third fantasy suite. Why not? Maybe we're giving him too much credit. Maybe he's not thinking about that. Like, he actually thinks there is a future there. Who knows? But if I were in his position and there was that going on and I was younger and knowing me, I would be like, hell yeah, you're going to be the third fantasy suite. Now, easier, I know that you don't think about these things.
I don't. I mean, I don't with them. Like, if that, you know... There's other people that I could have seen him taking that far because he was sexually attracted to them. But I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I would see Sydney she's going that far just for that.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing up Sydney again because I have to. So, okay. First, let me start with this. This is the generic romantic music.
We have that spark, it's undeniable, and we definitely have physical chemistry. There's no question about that.
This is the generic romantic music they put in the background of that, like you said, Caitlin, last week. Like softcore, porn, dreamy, blurry, watery, I guess sex. I can't believe it. So I'm going to cut this in and out since we're talking about gross sex things. Caitlin, my question is, now that we know, because when we talked about it last week, I didn't know. I don't know if Craig knew, but I don't think you knew that Sydney and Peter had sex. Does it not surprise you at all
that they did?
Yeah. Or does it not surprise you very much? Like, does it not surprise you?
I feel like it's sort of a medium in the one sense, like, it's the kind of thing where, according to the rules of The Bachelor, it shouldn't have happened because it wasn't a fantasy suite and she's not in the top handful of people, right? So in that sense, it is surprising that, like, this occurred. It's not surprising me in the sense that he does really seem like a horn dog, you know, like constantly, like, grinding women against, like, tables and walls and stuff. And I was like, oh, I could totally see him being like, well, there's an opportunity here. Let's just see, you know?
Yeah, and what's he going to do, say no? I mean, she's on top of him in the hot tub anyway. Well, if she initiated, what's he going to do, say no?
This is giving me flashbacks to Hannah Brown season. Because remember how many guys she would, like, put... Right. Would put her on a table. I'm equating them in sexual terms. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares what she actually does? But it just seemed so, I can't believe that that's so possible. Maybe it has more to do with the fact that they are on TV and that it's on The Bachelor. And it's like, you wouldn't do it even if you really wanted to, because it could come back and get you, you know, a producer could, if Sydney, you guys are both saying that Sydney comes back and says it. I'm saying that even if that didn't happen and someone knew about it, someone was going to leak it because it was so, it's so like, you know, huge.
Yeah. And it sounds like that's what's going to happen.
And I'm not sure if Sydney comes back or they don't show who, like, tells you about the sex with Sydney. My guess is if it's not Sydney who would come back, which I don't know if she would or not, that it's a producer, like, leaked it to somebody, right?
Okay.
Because otherwise, how would they have that information? Only Peter and Sydney and the producers would know that.
Okay, sorry. But what does all this have to do with Victoria F?
Nothing. We jumped because I had that question for Caitlin. Like, maybe it surprises me. There's a few barriers there. The first barrier being that it's on The Bachelor. It shouldn't have happened. My second barrier being that, like, if those were two friends, I still would be, like, totally shocked. Like, they did that on their first date? On their first, like, actual date?
You would...
Yeah. I could see it. I was thinking in terms of, like, so when you're saying, like, Hannah did a lot of, on her season... There was some grinding and, like, sitting on laps and things like that that is similar to the types of stuff that Peter does with the women on his season. And I feel like Hannah is also a little bit of a horn dog, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you think about when they got to her fantasy suites week and she was like, fantasy suites, yes!
Right.
I was, like, freaking out and it's like, oh, yeah, like, she's a horn dog. But I think to her, why I would have been more surprised if she had had sex with somebody before that is that it also is, like, a rule following thing, right? Like, you're not supposed to do it before then. And that there's also more, like, shame associated with women having sex with lots of people. So that plays into it too.
Yeah.
And just sort of like that, I feel like, I mean, maybe this is, like, coming from the woman's perspective, but that there's more, you know what I mean? Like, you could be hooking up with somebody and not having sex with them. And that you might just decide that was enough and walk away. Right.
Right.
Say, like, oh, we had, like, a steamy makeout session with some other things happening, but, like, I'm going to wait to have sex with them until a later date. And that I feel like that seems more, especially with what Craig is saying, is, like, the opportunity's there, why not take it? I feel like that's much more of, like, a societally male viewpoint, right? To say, like, the sex could happen, I guess we should just do it then, right? As opposed to, like, what I feel like women are more conditioned to do, which is, like, it could happen, I should decide whether or not I want that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still shocked. Well, let's outro with that beautiful music. So now all his little comments are so much more in perspective for me. Because he, you know, they show this clip of them basically having sex with clothes, with like clothes separating them. And in with between it, they show him kind of saying, I like Sydney. She's great. She's a great gal. You know, like what you say after you hump them and dump them. And then they play this really generic music.
She's a special girl. And I could definitely see a future with her.
He lied. I'm just so shocked. I'm going to cut his little things out, and we're going to have that music forever whenever you guys think sex happens, because I am, as you guys know, I have no idea. Okay. I'm done.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do fashion, and that'll be it.
This is the fashion roundup.
Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Take it away, Caitlin.
So the first outfit, the one that really stood out to me this week as something that I noticed and wanted to talk about, is what Peter wore on his one-on-one date with Kelsey, which was a pair of like slim-cut cargo pants and then a army jacket, and the whole thing was just pockets on every part of
his
body.
I love that jacket. You know my style, EZR.
Yeah,
I like
that was all faded and like purposefully distressed.
Like, yeah, it was a little over the top, but I like the kind of dug in, beat up, greenish jacket look, but not with khakis. I would have worn with like, you know, tactical pants or, you know, in a ripped up like tank top under it. You can't mix that with a preppy look, which is what he did.
Yeah, I think the thing that struck me about it is, like, I do kind of like the army jacket look in general, but the fact that it was, like, he's wearing a jacket that has, like, seven different pockets in places, and then he's also wearing pants that are just pockets all down the side, and I'm like, what is this outfit? It's just, like, a whole, it's too many pockets.
Yeah. You know? Too many pockets, yeah.
Too many pockets, yeah, that was the biggest one. There were several, like, some of the women's outfits, I was just like, this isn't good. Why are you wearing this? Like, I didn't like Natasha's top during the dinner portion of her one-on-one.
Yeah, it wasn't very flattering.
The sleeves were just very weird, and then she was putting them in and out of a jacket, and they're, like, big, fluffy, loose sleeves, and the whole thing was just making you be like, no, don't do it. Don't do that. And what the women all wore on the three-on-one at the end, I was like, oh, everybody's outfit is not great. That, like...
Yeah.
They all just seemed like it was like a weird, it was like something you'd wear on laundry day, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Kelly was wearing like an all white outfit, right? And then Hannah Ann was trying to, she was kind of doing like a Southern cowboy kind of look, right? Did I get that right?
I feel like
blue ruffly.
Yeah, it was like a blue ruffly silky halter top kind of thing with skinny black jeans and these like wedge sneaker boot things, and it was an odd outfit to me just because I felt like the pieces didn't match up, you know what I mean, that like you could wear those jeans and the little boots, but you'd wear something more casual on top, or like you'd wear this fancy top with the fancier shoes, you know.
It was a very strange 3-on-1, which Jay in LA on Twitter, he pointed out, is like, so a 3-on-1 is a group date.
Have we ever seen a 3-on, like, I don't remember this being a thing.
Well, I wrote back, I was like, oh, they call it a 3-on-1 to distinguish it from a 4-on-1. I like that you used the phrase laundry day, because it was laundry day, not just with clothes, but just attitude. It was like, oh, all right, let's just get this over with. Like, we know there's two roses. We probably know he's going to get cut. Like, let's just get this. Like, they were all just in a bad mood.
I had no idea Kelly was going to get cut. I don't know what you're saying. Oh, I see Hannah's hands thing now. It's like halter, like crosses at the neck. I was picturing her in some fluffy thing. That's like a big style. I'm guessing it's style and not culture, is the kind of cowboy roughly off the shoulder thing.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It's too popular.
Victoria F. wears those a lot. The off the shoulder things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were all just, like, I remember being like, oh, these are all just very weird outfits to wear on this. But I think you'd have a point, Craig, that they were all, none of them were excited for that date. And maybe that is illustrated by the things that they chose to wear.
Exactly. That's why fashion is so important. It reflects what you're feeling, for sure. And speaking of which, I'm in my pajamas right now. So I'm feeling like we've hit the end of the podcast and it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
It's very late where you are in the future, Caitlin. So
it is, yeah.
We should probably wrap this up. What do you think, EZR?
Sounds good. Crashy velvet. It's so old.
Wait, what?
Kelly's crushy, on top of being an all-white outfit, which is, oh my God, you're in grass, you're eating, like, right. I mean, maybe you're eating, like, it's just scary to me. But then she wore, like, a crushy velvet, almost like a windbreaker style, but then it's, velvet.
I thought that was a very weird choice, because it didn't go with the all-white outfit at all, you know?
Yeah, on top of it being an outfit that's just impossible. Then you go, I mean, it's impossible to wear, but then it's also so easy to pair, and then she pairs it with the one thing that's weird. Like, it's really weird.
Because, yeah, I think Natasha did an all-white on the day portion of her date, too. But she had these cute little shoes on and it was like a gray or a tan kind of sweater that it just, like, the colors went a lot better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, like last week, we ended up doing a long podcast on not very much content. Our podcast links are trending to be longer with Caitlin on the podcast now. If that's good or bad, let us know on Twitter at Bachelor Masters, Instagram at Bachelor Masters, Facebook. Leave a review on the Apple Podcast app.
Yeah, we should make a stand for these very talented street performers, way more talented than any D-list country star I don't care about. It really, like, they give them no chyrons. And then there was an actual band they didn't give a chyron to.
Yes, that's true. They didn't even, like, discuss that at all.
No.
Yeah, and that's this epidemic. Whenever they're in a foreign country, they don't chyron the performers, and then when we're here, we get, you know, some ABC network tie-in act.
Yeah, I can't wait for Chase Rice to play at whatever Peter's wedding is too.
Yeah.
Hannah Brown.
All right, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.